And John, whose job is it to line up new contracts when one drops?
Good question.
Ensure the money is being collected as per the contracts.
Well, I know that we send out bills from here for payment, in other words, invoices to the contract holders. As to how the contracts themselves were originated, I have not the foggiest idea. It sounds strange to me, though, that engineers or technical people would be negotiating contracts. That doesn't make any sense. But I'll certainly dig into that and find out.
Michael Lusak again.
I think one other thing that would be worth digging into is what the prospects are of getting FCA revenue set up again from WPFW. Because if we change the scheme as things currently stand, they would take a big hit.
Right. Well, they're not getting anything currently. So the question, technically it's not a big deal to put a subcarrier in an FM signal. It's just a question of, having a contract that we approve, that's offered and we approve. I would think in Washington, D.C., there would be some demand for an FM subcarrier, but honestly, I don't know.
Bill Fitzsack.
Go ahead.
And Michael.
I got Michael first. I heard Bill.
Okay.
Hold on. I heard someone else. Is that Adriana?
Serene.
I heard Serene for sure. I'm not sure if I heard Adriana. Adriana, if it was you trying to pipe up, you were so broken up, you were almost impossible to hear. It would be better if you could call in on another phone line. Right now, my stack is Michael, Bill, and Serene. Go ahead, Michael.
So I'm wondering if there's any effort being made into the question of it sounds like there's only one at KPFK and it's quite valuable. Is there a second that would be available that we should be trying to merchandise, or the same with the PFW and so on?
Good question. Some stations, for technical reasons, choose only to do one. There are two frequency inserts that are used.
Mm-hmm.
One's at 67 kilohertz,
right,
one's at 92. Mm-hmm. And some stations experience interference problems if they do two at the same time.
Okay.
That could be one reason. Or the first subcarrier, and unless the FCC has changed its rules, if there is a reading service for the visually impaired, they get first dibs on that subcarrier, and they can only be charged basically the incremental expense of providing the service. They can't be charged a large fee to support Pacifica. And I don't know what if any Pacifica stations carry the reading services for the visually impaired, but that would eliminate one of the subcarriers for rental.
Thank you.
Next is Bill.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, which station was it that lost Radio Haiti? Was that K?
That was the KPFA, yeah.
Oh, KPFA, oh, okay. I'm not sure if this is true, but I've heard that there's not nearly as many people interested in getting SCA contracts now that web streaming is so common. The SCA thing predates
undoubtedly that's true.
SCA.
Undoubtedly,
yeah.
Yes.
So it may not be as easy to get new SCA contracts as it used to be.
Here's the reason why SCA remains valuable insofar that it is valuable, because it's a subscription closed circuit service. You can't, an individual can't go out to Walmart and buy an SCA radio. The radios are proprietary and have to be supplied by the organization that leases the subcarrier. So they can charge for the service, and the commercial SCA clients do exactly that. They put, for instance, the music you hear in a department store is typically delivered by an SCA, and they pay big bucks to have that service private that nobody else can pick up.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Serene, you're next. Serene, you've got to unmute.
Hi. Okay, thanks. Hi. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks. I just sent an amendment to the initial motion, which is to, and I can read it. You should all receive it, but may I read it?
Surely.
copies of all existing SCA contracts shall be submitted to the respective general manager and local station board and to the PNB within 14 days of the passage of this motion, and an accounting of all SCA-related income and expenses since January 1, 2013, including billing and payment of legal and collection fees and maintenance and upgrade costs, if any, and any other expense, be submitted to the respective general manager and LSB and to the PNB within 60 days of the passage of this motion, and further, that pending and future contracts are to be submitted to the PNB for advance review and feedback after having been reviewed by our FCC attorney.
Okay, and what is that replacing, Serena?
I eliminated the first paragraph that calls for the SCA monies to be credited to central services, since people have asked all the, I mean, the rest of it is pretty much as it was in the motion, but the time periods have changed now since John seems to have the information more available than I had thought. So we no longer need to give 45 days for that. We can get it in, you know, in a couple of weeks. But it eliminates the first part about how it gets distributed. As I said, it was never the intent to starve the national office. We understand that the reallocation of central services has to happen. It has to happen for the archives also, because they're simply not making it on what they're getting or not getting much of the time. But yeah, that's the effective change in the motion.
This is okay. Lydia. Okay, the secretary needs to nail this down. So, the amendment is to remove the first paragraph, which starts, "Be it hereby resolved."
And then just your email.
Say again?
I emailed everyone the language.
Yes, I see the language. It doesn't say exactly where it goes in. Or are you replacing the entire motion with this?
Yeah.
I need.
Yeah, it's a substitute motion. No.
Okay, so this is a motion. This is a substitute. This replaces the entire motion that you had up here. Okay. Thank you.
Lydia, go ahead.
Who?
Lydia, you're next.
Oh. Okay. It's still my initial concern that it affects the rippling budgets, right? And number one, I think this needs to obviously come back to the Finance Committee. I would like to postpone this because I think it calls for looking at the ripple effects that it will have. I'm less concerned about the fact that, you know, the national office is not going to have money. I think it will once we make all of the respective adjustments to the upcoming budget. But I think it's a budget issue at this point, because we're changing the whole dynamics of how we budget, where we put the money, what we attribute it to, and it'll affect all of the budgets, really. And so... This is a motion to postpone.
The substitute
took that out. Sabrina, as I understand your substitute, this is no longer moving any money around. It's solely a reporting motion?
Right, because, you know, the original motion contained requests for information, but people want to get that information before they make any other decision, and that's fine. So that's why the substitute.
So now it's just a request for information.
And the requirement to review the future contract.
Well, I don't want any new contract to be signed without our knowledge during this period.
Yeah.
Okay.
This bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, the last sentence in the substitute goes beyond that. It says that pending and future contracts are to be submitted to the PNB for advanced review and feedback after being reviewed by our FCC attorney. I just don't think that's necessary. I mean, we can't tie the PNB up on reviewing every little contract and, you know.
No.
I don't want any contracts to be signed while we're discussing this. That's why it's there.
Well, this motion would still have to be approved by the PNB before it would do anything on that anyway. I just don't want to tie the hands of management if, you know, on the contract.
So if you want to propose striking the sentence, propose striking the sentence.
Well, I guess I'll agree with Lydia's motion to postpone consideration. That would take care of it. And we can bring it back later if we need to.
And Lydia, too, I have something to say.
Sabrina, what's your question?
Okay. So, now that I've made a substitute, don't we have to address the substitute by the sentence or postponing the first question?
Well, your substitute can be amended further, or the motion and the substitute that is attached to it can both be postponed. So I guess I should ask Lydia, are you sticking to your motion to postpone?
Actually, let me see, what am I thinking about? That the contract, that we have a contract policy that has never been rescinded, so the fact that we violate it, if any contracts are signed between now and then, we would be violating the existing contract policy, that all contracts have to go through coordinating. That was just a point of information. But I still believe that we have to postpone this. I actually... Serene had won me over with her initial motion, so on most of it, except for the adjustments that have to be made, this to me seems to be a different topic about contracts and review and blah, 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 and it still refers to accounting aspects of this, which will affect the budget regardless. But I just think it needs to be postponed.
Okay. Are you proposing to postpone it to a specific time?
To our next meeting.
To our next meeting, 2 weeks from now. Okay.
To continue the discussion, Right.
We're going to take that as the motion on the floor. So any debate at this point will be on the merits of postponing or not postponing. Is there a stack, or shall we put it to a vote? What's your question, Serena?
I'm going to agree to postpone it only because I know the PNB is meeting to deal with these. Well, not only because, but PNB is meeting on Thursday to deal with the facilities underwriting. It's 10 o'clock in New York, so we should get to that.
Okay. Is there any objection to postponing? Hearing none, this item is postponed to our next meeting. And now we are on to the proposed underwriting program. We had a discussion of this 2 weeks ago. I trust that those of you who did not have a chance to read the proposal before then have had a chance to look at it now. My understanding is that the Pacifica National Board will be taking this up for consideration in a special meeting devoted solely to that purpose 2 days from now, and that our job as Finance Committee is to put on the PNB's radar any financial considerations that should be on its radar when it takes this up. I've put two that I am proposing on our agenda. One is a requirement that if and when the program is implemented, that they get advice from a qualified tax attorney on whether the commission income that Pacifica would receive from the program would constitute unrelated business income, which would mean it's taxable income. We should plan accordingly. And the second is that contracts with the program be structured in such a way that Pacifica does not get stuck as a middleman owing money.
A lot of rallying on the line.
Not yet collected from underwriters. Sorry, who was that?
There's a lot of wowing on the line or something.
Yeah, your connection is poor, Brian.
I apologize. I'm in motion.
That's right.
That's why I put my proposals in writing on the agenda. What I would like to do is go through discussion and votes on those two proposals and then take any other additional proposals that members of the committee have. Does that sound reasonable?
Brian?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, are you making two motions or one?
One at a time.
Okay, so... there's a preamble here. The National Finance Committee recommends the PNB, the underwriting proposal, colon, does that go with the first one, or does it go with each one, or?
Fair enough. Let's take it all as one motion. I'm sorry, I can't pull the documents up in front of me.
I can read. Well, we'll have to read them at some point anyway, but we can read them.
Why don't you give it a reading so I'm not paraphrasing it? We're actually talking about what's on the agenda.
Same thing, yeah. All right. What I have from you is, the National Finance Committee recommends that the PNB attach the following provisos to any approval of the affiliate's underwriting proposal. One, prior to implementation, management shall consult a tax attorney regarding whether income from this program might be taxable and plan accordingly. Two, all contracts shall be structured so that Pacifica has no obligation to pay fees to affiliates unless and until it has collected the corresponding payments from underwriters. So do you want that to be all one big motion?
Sure. And if people want to add provisos, they can propose amendments.
And this is Lydia.
And Tony,
Put us back.
Okay, I've got Lydia, I've got Tony. Did I hear you, Michael, or did I mishear Tony?
No, I didn't ask to speak.
Okay. I've got Lydia, then Tony. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I would like, in addition to the financial liability in terms of what we might have to pay on non-deductible tax, is the issue of our 501c3. To me, that's the larger issue. And so I want an opinion regarding our vulnerability in this regard. And so that it's not limited to, and I'm looking for Brian's email, but anyway, so that it's not just limited to the tax liability, which I think is minimal. Although it's often tied to your debt, but that's, you know, the examples my CPA has given me, but for other issues. But having said that, I still think that the income is going to be negligible. I'm more concerned about the relationship. I'm unclear from the proposal. I don't see a cost analysis, how much staff it will take. I don't know who the checks are being written to. Are they being written to Pacifica, to a new bank account, a new name? You know, all of those specifics, and then the distribution, does it first come to this central location affiliated with Pacifica or Pacifica itself, and then we disperse it? Disbursement of a non-tax deductible monies are also an issue. So there are all of these issues beyond just the tax liability, and that's my concern. So I would rather not limit it, but make it as broad as possible so that we have an opinion, which I personally think is going to, I think an attorney would say, you know, I need to know A, B, C, and D before I can offer an opinion, because I think this was very scant. And it's very different from when you receive a contract. You receive a lease. Let's say we're going to approve a lease or something. You have it, and then you can say, oh, I have all of these questions, and then you send it to an attorney to vet and whatever. We don't have a template for what a contract would look like, what the specific responsibilities would be, and as I said, the check writing, deposits and disbursements. All of that, to me, is extremely vague in this proposal. It's not specified at all. So I don't know how you can even get an in-depth opinion. However, so my motion is to not limit it to just the tax liability, but include the RC3 status at minimum.
Bill Fusak.
I need some exact wording on exactly what you want this motion.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to find, as soon as I find Brian's motion, I can...
It's in the agenda.
It's in the agenda.
Oh, it is? Okay, hold on.
Point of information?
Lydia, why don't you work out your language, and we'll circle back to you when
we're
discussing. All right? I've got Tony, and I heard Bill after him. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I don't necessarily have a problem with some of these amendments. I do have some serious reservations about the underlying proposal. And one is the, before even getting to the philosophy of underwriting, I mean, I'm just looking at the deal itself. I'm concerned that Pacific only gets 16% of every dollar on this deal, and that the affiliates program gets, affiliate and the director gets well over 40 or 50% of every dollar that comes in. Now that concerns me because we're going through all this and we're getting a small amount based on the deal options. And then the director, and I don't have a problem with the director. I think she deserves every bit of money that she gets. But the director gets the sales commission. And the sales commission for the director in her office is more than what Pacifica actually gets itself. Her sales commission and the director is 19%. Pacifica only gets 16%. So I assume we will still be paying the director of the affiliates a salary in addition to the sales commission.
No.
And another thing, I'm sorry, but that doesn't even propose it, that that's not the case. I haven't seen it. I read it. I didn't see anything in the proposal that that was.
Yeah.
That she wouldn't be paid, that would stop being paid. But also, my concern is also that you're allocating a percentage of the administrative cost to the affiliate's office. I don't know if we would have control over that or the budget of that, but I know that they would get the administrative cost would go 25% to the affiliate's program. So that means that the director and the program of the affiliates will get close to 45% of every dollar that comes in that we would really have no control over Pacific itself. So my reservations is about whether or not we will actually lose control of the affiliates program by doing this, because it, here it is, if they have a budget we have no control over and the office's finance salary that we have no control over, that it might open up the door where it's a breakaway of the affiliates program. So these are my reservations, but mainly the breakup of the percentages, I don't see how we really get a lot, the foundation. We're only getting 16% of every dollar, if you want to analyze it from a business perspective. So if we're going to use our brand, I think we ought to get more than that, because the director is getting 19% sales commission. So I don't see it as an advantage, even if you're in favor of underwriting, how we as a foundation are benefiting from it. So I have a lot of serious reservations about it to work out the nitty-gritties of it. But that's the
thing. Adriana, for the stack.
Okay, I had Bill after Tony. Now I've got Adriana after Bill. I'll put myself on after Adriana.
I think John had a point of information. Why don't we let him go first?
No. Do you have a question, John?
I've actually, well, I'll change it, because the fact of the matter is all of these percentages and so forth are completely up to the PNB if we eventually adopt a proposal. Those are starting suggestions and figures to be able to put together a plan and how it would be financed. It's not etched in stone, nor is it something that Ursula or anybody else in the affiliates program is insisting on. It's just a starting point. Number two, the underwriting income coming into Pacifica would fund the salary for the director and for the accountants and so forth. It's not in addition to their existing salary. It takes their salary off of the current books that we're having to pay them out of central services.
Okay, thanks for that, John. I've got you next, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Well, I was sort of assuming that also. I don't think we should be worrying about too much of the little details. I mean, if we're getting a contract signed to paint a building, we don't care about what kind of brush people use and all the little details about where they buy the paint and stuff like that. I don't think that needs to be something we worry about. And as John was hinting at that, this is a concept. I'd also like to point out this is a pilot program. Yeah. That was real clear in the what we got before the last meeting. It's not a permanent thing, and it's just for a 6-month pilot program on a small scale to see how it works. I would anticipate the expenses would be higher at the beginning, and so I think it's reasonable that the revenue goes to cover those expenses at the affiliates program. And I don't have a problem with it. I think we need to be doing more of this and trying and seeing what works. And then after we see how it works in 4 months or 6 months, various things may change before we decide to go on with it, if it goes on. I hope it is successful, because it potentially could provide some additional revenue to the national office, considerably more than will happen in this pilot program. So perhaps in future years it could provide additional revenue for us and also help grow the affiliates program, which I think we should all be doing.
I've got Adriana next. I'm putting myself on the stack after her. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. I'm really very, very confused now. What I see in front of me is telling me that Tony point before, we have Pacifica receive only 16%. What I see in front of me is 19%, that is sales commission, 70% to the coordinator, and 30% to the assistants. My question here is, I just said that that is not piling on top of the salary. It means that automatically, during we are doing this, trying this during 6 months. During the 6 months, these two persons are not receiving any salary and any health system, only that 19%. I don't understand that part. But it's more than that. The reality, this is showing one of the illnesses of Pacifica Foundation. Everybody use work under the umbrella and under the name of the Pacifica Foundation. In the meantime, that just is cost, the Pacifica Foundation pay salaries and everything. When the program or somebody come up with an idea that maybe will bring money, automatically it's being taken out of Pacifica, giving Pacifica a small percentage, when the reality for something like this to work, it's imperative Pacifica Foundation, because we are here, the big name that can make this sound possible for a bunch of people or for the people that are trying to do this. Then we, after all of that, we pay the people, in the meantime, salaries, in the meantime that people are looking for all these programs. I don't know I hear stories about the past in Pacifica, but I heard that with different programs. Once the programs get really some kind of money, you know, they are working, they immediately go out of Pacifica. And Pacifica, in the meantime, you know, it's like that dog with the couple that the women work the whole time, in the meantime that the men go to medical school. When he graduates, they divorce. Well, that is what we are doing with Pacifica, and that outraged me. And I don't know what we can even consider taking things from Pacifica. This is a discussion, but this is ridiculous. 16% for Pacifica. Why? I don't really understand what that means. This was presented before. Now it's an emergency. I still not understanding. A bunch of things are not clear. A bunch of terms. I'm reading here about underwriting and the criteria, the Pacifica criteria and the affidavit. Since when Pacifica have a philosophy about underwriting? We know that some stations are doing it, but supposedly we are not. And now in the numbers here, I can see that, the underwriting will be considering how Pacifica, I mean, this is all ridiculous. We are trying to hide what we are doing. And more than that, when that is, receive money, okay, give it away. Pacifica only pay in the meantime that programs don't work. Then go away. When you are having something working, go away. And then charge Pacifica, like other programs that we heard before. This is outrageous. I don't agree with that, and I think that we need to tell our members what we are trying to do. This is really outrageous. Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, the outcome of this is kind of the bottom line of this program is whether it winds up offering a service to our affiliates that they value. And any money that Pacifica pockets is gravy. but more services that the affiliates value hopefully leads to more affiliates, which leads to a financial benefit. Certificates of membership.
Brian, hello? Are you gone?
Sounds like Brian fell off.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm on, but if Brian was the one who was actually speaking, so he's going to get himself back on and complete
okay.
his thought.
This is Lydia. I just sent the amendment.
Go ahead.
If I can read it.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm adding to Brian's language and what we need to include to save. So in other words, this is part of what we would ask the attorney in addition to the consulting an attorney regarding whether income from this program might be taxable, is and what we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan. Which, by the way, is language out of our 990 when it asks a question about such arrangements.
Okay, a little point of information.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I guess this is to John. I don't know if you've talked with our John Krigler, our
yes.
FCC attorney, but
yes.
could he take care of this or have people on his staff that would be familiar
yes.
with this so we don't have
yes.
to get another
yes
attorney?
Yes, to both points. Yes, to both points. I've been talking with Krigler, and he's referred us to one of his partners who is a specific tax attorney.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Brian's back on the call here.
Good. In your absence, Lydia read her amendment to your amendment, provides our other, but it might be moot because John Profitt is saying that they're in the process of consulting with.
No, it's not moot.
Oh, okay.
It's right. not moot.
Okay.
I'm sorry to beg the committee's indulgence, but could I have the reading of the language?
Yes. I sent it to the committee, and it says, and what we need to, this is in addition to asking for the what might be taxable after that. It would read, and what we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan.
Okay. Is there any objection to making that amendment to the motion?
Could I hear it read again? My internet just went down and I can't get any email.
Okay. And what we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan. So as amended, the motion would be prior to implementation, management shall consult a tax attorney regarding whether income from this program might be taxable, and what we need
to
include to what we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan. I left the two out of my rewrite, yeah. but anyway.
Paul, will you please set that down?
Yeah, to add in, after that paragraph with the Roman numeral 1 in front of it, and what we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any objection to adding that language to the motion? Okay, hearing none, it's now incorporated by amendment. Does anyone else wish to propose further amendments to this motion?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, I don't wish to propose an amendment, but to the issue about the this offsetting the salary or taking the place of the full salary, that would usher in other issues, too, since by job description, our current director has a certain number of issues that have little to do with this. So that has to be discussed.
Yes.
Okay.
So what I understood John Profitt to be saying was that she has a salary. The affiliate administrative expense percentage that's in that proposal would count towards her salary. Commissions would be above and beyond the salary. Am I wrong, John?
No, it's correct.
But, Tony, for a point of information.
The commissions do not replace the salary. They're above and beyond. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I'm confused because it's not in the proposal. It's not outlined in the proposal salary and whether or not the commission replaces the salary or not. So I don't know if Tony can take that out for me because
The PNB and the committee can mandate that if they see fit to clarify it. I mean, it's not anything that the proposal tries to present as a fait accompli. No, it's there to be discussed and worked on.
Okay.
Well, Tony, I mean, the general concept is okay, but I still have reservations about the devil is in the detail. I can't vote for it as it stands, as the proposal is, unless there's some clarification between now and the PNB, but I can't. There's still a lot of up in the air, and I see what you all are doing with asking for the attorney's advice, but I think we need to do all that on the front end and not approve it, even a pilot program, and then ask for advice from the attorney. I do have some reservations.
Well, and I want to be clear, Tony, this committee is not recommending that the PNB approve it or not approve it. We're recommending that if the PNB choose to approve it, that it do its homework in these two areas. In other words, we're telling it what conditions to attach to any approval without recommending for or against approval. That's how the motion is worded.
Serene, I have a question.
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I don't even remember what Ursula's base salary is, and we wouldn't discuss it on the call if I did. I suspect it's been a while since there's been an increase. But are we then going to essentially have her as both a commissioned employee and a salaried employee for the period of time that this program in trial basis, being, you know, the 6-month experiment? Is that what we're saying?
That's how I read the proposal. And my understanding, it's extremely common practice in the media industry to have anyone who works in advertising or underwriting sales to get commissions. It's intended to align their incentives with that of the organization. And my understanding is it's a widespread practice for underwriting among public broadcasters as well. I don't know what the industry standard is in terms of percentages. John might know better than I do. And whether the proposal is on the high end or the low end of that standard.
Okay.
John, do you know?
Yeah, if I might, it varies, and usually it varies on the total gross sales of the person who's handling the sales accounts. In other words, the larger the amount of money that is raised from, say, 10 or 15 flights of underwriting, the actual percentage reduces, so that it's, you know, kept under control. But the important thing to bear in mind is this can be done totally without any regard to commission. I mean, that, as Brian has pointed out, this is a fairly common practice both in non-commercial radio and definitely in commercial radio. But nothing says that if we adopt this proposal and if it goes forward through a trial or even an implementation, that a commission has to be paid to anyone. I mean, that's just, the proposal is based on common industry practice, but that doesn't mean that we have to follow that template at all. I think it's getting very, very deep into the weeds of this to try to micromanage each aspect of the proposal. It needs to be discussed. It needs to be altered. But right now, we're just hopefully passing it to the PNB to begin that process. Nothing is being proposed as being etched in concrete. It's just a template to start with.
Serene for the staff.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir, Paul.
I call for the orders of the day.
That would be adjournment.
No. Doesn't have to be. It can be extended. I just want people to know we're way over.
Okay. We have a proposal to extend 15 minutes from Serena. Is there an objection?
Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
I object.
City objects. Our Paul, could you please call the roll?
Extend for how long?
15 minutes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm going to type this in, so hold on a second. Okay. All right, the motion is to extend for 15 minutes. Lydia Brazon?
No.
Adriana Kasanov?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tekert?
Abstain.
Marcus Jeter, R. Paul Martin, abstain. Tony Norman?
Abstain.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman? Okay. Did I miss anybody? All right, it's 3-4, 2 against, 3 abstentions. Requires 2/3.
It therefore fails. That forces us to go to a vote on the pending motion, which is my motion as amended by Lydia.
Just a quick point of information.
Yes, sir.
So we are voting just on your recommendations. You're not adding this language to the proposal that's on the table. So I just want to be clear about what we're voting on. We're not voting on.
Can you give us a complete reading of what we will be voting on? The motion as amended.
Okay. See, sometimes I go in here and I grab these. I grab a few seconds to copy that out.
You want me to read it?
I have it. I can go.
Chair, may I ask the question while the secretary looks through his?
I'm getting it. It's in front of me. All right. What I have is.
Chair?
The National Finance Committee recommends that the PNB attach the following provisos to any approval of the affiliate's underwriting proposal. 1. Prior to implementation, management shall consult a tax attorney regarding whether income from this program might be taxable and plan accordingly, and that we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan. 2. All contracts shall be structured so that Pacifica has no obligation to pay fees to affiliates unless and until it has collected the corresponding payments from underwriters. Okay, and I'll copy the first line of that and bring it down to the roll call vote. And
okay.
There second,
then
here we go. Okay.
Okay. This is Lydia.
Aren't we voting?
I'm afraid discussion is over. We did not extend time. All we can do is vote.
All right.
No, but that's not what I had proposed the language to go. It was kind of clumsy. May I read what I sent to the board?
I'm sorry. You're saying our Paul has the wrong language down?
Yes.
What?
Okay.
This is what you said was right. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so the amended language would read, prior to implementation, management shall consult a tax attorney regarding whether income from this program might be taxable and what we need to include to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan.
Okay.
It's in the same email that I sent.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see that. Okay. Again, I had to go by what was said. I couldn't
sure,
get email.
That's right.
All right, voting on this. Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tekert.
Yes.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin. Pass. Tony Norman.
Abstain.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman? R. Paul Martin? Yes. Very qualified, yes. That's 7-4-0 against, 1 abstention.
Okay, the motion passes. I'll present that as advice from the committee to the PNB when it considers it at its meeting this Thursday. Thank you, everyone, for your time. We'll talk in 2 weeks, and please send me any proposed agenda items for that meeting ahead of time so I can get down to the agenda. Talk to you then. This meeting is now adjourned.